Good morning. If you would please stand, our first song is This Is the Day. Forever, I wasn't sure. So there you go.
My turn.
Yeah, your turn.
Dearest Heavenly Father, in the midst of life's chaos, we seek the tranquility of inner peace. We ask that you grant us the serenity to find solace in your presence. We ask that you calm our restless minds and to ease our troubled hearts. As we gather for worship, may your peace descend upon us like a gentle dove, bringing comfort and stillness to our souls. We long for the peace that only you can provide, O Lord, and we offer this prayer with hearts open to your calming embrace. With thanks and gratitude for the peace that you have given us, we say in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Our next hymn is Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus.
may be seated.
Well, we've had a disastrous year so far. We still have flood victims to pray for. We have the victims of the fires in California to pray for. Yes, the floodwaters have gone. Yes, the fires have been put out. But that's only the beginning. Now they have to recover. And then just this week, we've had two terrible plane crashes with a lot of loss of life and a lot of grief and a lot of suffering. So I would say we need to say a prayer and keep those people in our thoughts, our prayers, and our minds. There's a lot of grief and disaster going on these days in the world. Does anybody have any other joys or concerns?
What about the people that they're letting the hostages go? That's a joy.
That is true. That is a joy. I mean, yeah, the last week we talked about Hamas and Israel having a ceasefire. But yes, in the ensuing days, they have let hostages go. They've released them and swapped them off and let them go home and be with their families. That's a very good one. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Yeah, one last thing. Let us not forget, February 23rd is Cookies, Cake, and Ice Cream Day. And I keep forgetting, and I shouldn't because I announce it every week, but this month I'm going to try to have some nice, fresh, hot cinnamon raisin bread, homemade, for Cookie, Cake, and Ice Cream Day. So, okay, if the ushers have come forward, it's now time for our tithes and offerings. Compassionate God, who sees beyond our boundaries and who loves us without limit, we bring these offerings to you with grateful hearts. We ask that you guide us to use them to proclaim your good news, to heal the broken, and extend your love to all, especially those that we struggle to accept. Aid us in transforming our gifts into a beacon of hope and inclusion that reflects the boundless love of Christ in every corner of our community. In these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
next hymn is Spirit of the Living God.
Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 4. It continues from last week, verses 21 to 30. He began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled, as you've heard." Everyone was raving about Jesus. So impressed were they by the gracious words flowing from his lips. They said, "This is Joseph's son, isn't it?" Then Jesus said to them, "Undoubtedly, you will quote this, saying to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you have done in Capernaum.' He said, 'I assure you that no prophet is welcome in the prophet's hometown. And I can assure you that there were many widows in Israel during Elijah's time, when it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and there was a great food shortage in the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to a widow in the city of Zarephath in the region of Sidon. There were also many persons with skin diseases in Israel during the time of the prophet Elijah, but none of them were cleansed. Instead, Naaman the Syrian was cleansed." When they heard this, everyone in the synagogue was filled with anger. They rose up and they ran him out of town. They led him to the crest of the hill upon which their town had been built so that they could throw him off the cliff. But he passed through the crowd and he went on his way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we'll talk a little bit before we get into the actual scripture message like usual. And for some of us, worship is a withdrawal from the world around them. It's a sanctuary. It's a place into which we can wrestle with all that we went through the week, and yet all those hassles do not enter into the sanctuary while we are worshiping. Certainly, there can be a need to clear one's mind and your heart to be present at the worship service. We do not, however, worship in a vacuum. We aren't cut off from the cares and concerns of the wider world. So how can worship prepare us to engage in the task of transforming the world? Developing a habit for regular gathered worship is an essential part of our growth And our growth as disciples and our witness to the world around us. And it's an effective foundation for the work of transformation. Understanding the reasons for what we do when we gather might help us recognize when our worship is focused inward on our own community, but not to the exclusion of an outward awareness of God at work in the wider world around us. We should examine the language of our liturgy and our music when we gather. Who are we including? Who are we affirming? And who are we encouraging? And last, but by no means least, who are we leaving out? Jesus got into trouble in our text this week when he tried to get the people to worship a bigger God than they were used to. Now, this is the final week in this part of the series, where we are. And it's about the familiar that might have become unfamiliar to us. Many in our habit-formed worship experience may have lost track of the context within which we worship. We may excel in personal spiritual growth, but at times we neglect our engagement with the world that God loved so much. We're good at individual study and individual reflection, but we're not as keen on building relationships with the wider community that surrounds us. Worship can be an opportunity to raise our vision from an internal introspection to a wider view of God at work in this, our community, and our world. It's a reminder that this town, this city, and this community, with all its struggles and all its resources, this town is our hometown also. So now we go on to the scripture message. So everything was going well. Jesus made his proclamation. He preaches his 9-word sermon, which some people may have been happy with and some may not. And the applause rains down. I know that's not the way you remember or I remember the story. Wasn't he rejected? Didn't they say he was just a hometown boy getting a little bit too big for his britches? Well, not exactly. Not at first. You know, look again. All spoke well of him. They thought, wow, a hometown boy made good. He's Joseph's son. He's one of us. He's ours. Aren't we special? Aren't we cool? That little phrase at the end of verse 22 wasn't disparaging his pride. It was pride. He's like us. If Jesus had stopped there, it would have been a glorious homecoming. They would have slapped him on the back, invited him to dinner, and talked about the good old days when he was a boy and things were so much better back in Nazareth. Now then Jesus would have been a minor celebrity. They'd all wave to him in the Walmart parking lot, and they'd want to sit by him at the bleachers at high school. He could have done well back there in that little town. But he didn't stop talking. He had a bigger vision than one small town in the hill country of Galilee. So he says, I know you want me to settle down here because here is where all the people that matter are. I know you don't understand why anyone would want to leave Nazareth and go into other towns and other countries. But you don't need me here. You won't hear me here. So now let's wait a minute. He said that no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. Different translations have us remember these words in different ways. But what does it mean? Why did he say it? Well, he said it because he knew what was underneath their approval. And he knew they didn't want to hear what he had come to say. He came to say that they were important, that much they heard. They heard that part of it. God is going to get the kingdom going right here in Nazareth. That'll show the folks down the road in the next county and in the next country that God's kicking things off right here today. This scripture today is fulfilled in your hearing. Okay. He came to say that they were important, but that they weren't the only important ones in the world. He came to say that God thinks even the stranger, even the foreigner, even the enemy is important. Important enough to save. Important enough to love. This has been God's plan from the beginning, Jesus says. You remember Elijah? You remember that story of the widow? God thought that she was important. He saved her. He blessed her. And he loved her. She wasn't one of us. You remember Elijah? You remember that guy? That foreign general guy with the skin problem? That guy, he was an enemy. He was a conqueror of people like you. And God healed him. And God blessed him. And God loved him. But get this, he was a Syrian. A Syrian. Now, wait a minute. A refugee from Syria? He might want to hurt us. He might hate us. He might tell us he's running for his life. But maybe it's just a plot to catch us with our guard down. Maybe he isn't really sick. Maybe they aren't really refugees. Maybe they haven't lived their whole lives in fear for their lives, surrounded by war and killing, and living in an unjust system that doesn't value them as human beings. They were valued as pawns in a terrible game of power. Maybe we should protect ourselves first and think of ourselves first and put them last. How dare you, Jesus, to tell us to love even those who were different from us? Goodness, sometimes we may struggle to love others in our own pew. Don't go asking us to love across the boundaries that were put in there to keep us safe. No wonder they got angry. No wonder they turned into a mob. You can't blame them. Jesus was inconveniencing them something awful. Asking them to make accommodations, to change ingrained habits, to think differently about who and what a neighbor really is. Well, that's crazy talk. So they drove him out of town. They walked him to toss him off a cliff. But he left. He had other places to go, a word to proclaim, a world to save, and he went on his way. I think that's probably one of the saddest verses in the whole Bible. It's evidence that God doesn't force us to change. He doesn't force us to grow or to love as Jesus loves and loved. God doesn't demand that we become something more, something riskier, something with the potential to change the world for the better, to be more like it was supposed to be in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, and it was good. It was good. We don't have to be a part of making it good. But Jesus, he isn't hanging around. He says, follow me, and he goes on his way. He leaves them all, except us, we think, except me. We don't want to hurl him from a cliff. However, We are hurling ourselves, one another, those unlike us, the enemy, the bad seed, and the outsiders. We'll toss them aside. We'll shout them down. And we'll rise up in anger. And in so doing, we grab him by the lapels and in our anger, thrust him to the edge of the cliff. And maybe if we're lucky, our eyes will be open enough to see him, his face bloodied by our hatred, and we'll stop ourselves and we'll try doing it his way. When we see the pain in his eyes and hear his whispered words, are there none who will not hate? And we respond, none of them, except whom, fill in the blank, fill in the blank with a name before he goes his way and leaves us. Before he goes his way and leaves us to it, let's do it in our own misguided way and follow him and not do it in our misguided way. That's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, now it is time for Holy Communion. I never know where to put this. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
It is right, and it's a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you.
This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ died.
Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ. Make us one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you now come on up to the altar. Each other this time.
Body of Christ.
And I, yeah.
Sit down. No.
Yeah.
There.
Now I'll get you.
Okay.
The body of Christ was shed for you. The blood of Christ that was shed for you.
Please stand as we sing, Are Ye Able?
As we leave this, our Heavenly Father's house, may God our Creator renew us in the creative spirit that brings healing and life to our world. May Jesus the Christ uphold us in grace and love. And may the Holy Spirit fill us with the courage to be the bearer of God's song of hope in our hometown and in the world and beyond. Amen.